I'd like to welcome you to the service, if you'd like to find your place in Galatians chapter 4. And this is the second part of this morning's message. So if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to this morning's message, which is recognizing the enemy, then I would encourage you to go there and listen to that message first and then follow up with this message. And this is recognizing the enemy part 2. And you can find your place there in Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, we're sure to fall when we fail to recognize the enemy in our life. Anything or anyone who draws us away from the truth found in God's Word is an enemy. We have some daily enemies. Every one of us, we face some daily enemies. We battle the world. I mean, the world is in our face. The course of this world is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the planet. I'm not talking about God's creation. I'm talking about the course of this world. It's in our face every day. The views of this world's in our face every day. And not only do we battle the world, but we also battle the flesh. And that's our own flesh that wars against the spirit. And then we have this common enemy called the devil. And this is a daily battle. I'm telling you, these are enemies that we face every day. And it's a daily battle, and it's imperative that we give God the glory in our daily lives. Because the devil does not care if you've been saved one day or you've been saved 50 years. He's still a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. All it will take to let the enemy in is to fail to recognize the enemy, to fail to go to God and to His Word to identify the enemy. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Ye know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of?" Hey, all of a sudden the speech had changed. Hey, their tone with the Apostle Paul had changed. Their speech had changed. And it says, "For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." And then here he asks a question in verse 16, and this is where we draw the title of today's message on recognizing the enemy. He says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" These folks had got it all wrong. They failed to recognize the enemy. They had been bewitched, been beguiled to follow after a lie. The real enemy had hindered them from running well in the truth of God's Word. And oh, may the Lord help us to recognize the enemy and not allow the enemy to have any dominion over us. This morning, in the morning message there, we looked at the enemy of conformity. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world." Hey, conforming to the world is an enemy of the truth of God. It says, "But be ye transformed." Don't be conformed, be transformed "by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Christians all around in the day that we're living in are conforming to the world. They're going against the truth of God's Word, and they've embraced the ways of the world, and they call it worship. Oh, may the Lord help us to recognize the enemy of conformity and deny him access in our life. We also looked at the enemy of complacency. Becoming complacent is detrimental to any part of our life. Taking things for granted is an enemy that sneaks into our ranks way too often. Getting complacent in our church attendance, getting complacent in our Bible reading, our prayer life, our giving, our witnessing, all those things allow the enemy to take up residence in our life and attack us from within. That's how the enemy gets behind our lines. He infiltrates that way. Oh, we looked at the enemy of complaining. Oh, that enemy is often excused in our life. Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, it's excused. We think we deserve to be able to do that. Oftentimes, this enemy of complaining, think about this. Oh, it's so simple, but think about this truth. Oftentimes, this enemy of complaining is allowed a seat in our car. There's a place in our car for the enemy of complaining. There's a place. There's a special chair pulled up at the dinner table where complaining will have his place. There's a special place in our home there in our living room. Maybe he's got his own special recliner. Oh, right there where this enemy of complaining has his seat in our home. Oh, and what's even saddest, even in the church, the sin of complaining has been allowed access. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When we develop a complaining spirit, we have failed to recognize the enemy. Matter of fact, we've already opened up the door of our heart and we've let the enemy in. Can I ask you something? Would you allow a known enemy of yours into your car? Would you allow a known enemy of yours into your home? Would you allow a known enemy of yours into your life, into your church even, to sit beside your spouse, to sit beside your children? How many times have we complained and allowed that enemy a front row seat that belongs to God? We've allowed him access into our heart that belongs to God, and the Holy Spirit of God is grieved in the process. Psalms 136:1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." The number one praise killer is complaining. Oh, may the Lord help us to defeat this enemy called complaining. And you do that by being thankful. When you start to complain, you start to murmur, to start being thankful. Just confess that to the Lord and start doing what God wants us to do, and let's be thankful unto him, because he's worthy of our thanks. Hey, the effects of complaining will lead to hatred. The effects of complaining will lead to bitterness. The effects of complaining will lead to wrath. The effects of complaining will lead to evil speaking. All the things that the Bible tells us not to do. Remember, the enemy's contrary to the truth. And he'll cause us not to obey the truth. Just like the Galatians twice has said in there that they stopped obeying the truth. And I'm going to tell you, that enemy of complaining will even lead us to desertion. Complaining will alienate God, and it'll grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, we'd better recognize this enemy of complaining and shut him up before the consequences of this sin destroys you, destroys me, and all those in our area of influence. Because I'm going to tell you, complaining's contagious. You know, when they started complaining there in Numbers chapter 21, when we read this morning, hey, they didn't all just do it at one pop, but boy, all it took was one person to start that. And then before long, this whole house was infected with that sin. And before long, it spread to the neighbor, and it spread over here. And before long, the whole congregation murmured and sinned against God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. The fourth enemy we need to recognize is the enemy called the contemporary Christian movement. It's an enemy to the truth. It's an enemy to the Word of God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 if you haven't found your place there. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. Verse 15, it says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." And underline verse 16 here. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Hey, God had set forth a straight path for them. God had given them a commandment there to stand in the ways. He said, it's time to take some evaluations here. And he said, you better look at what's going on. You better understand and see what's happening. And he says, this is what you need to ask for. And he told them, he says, "And ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said they will not walk therein. Let's keep reading in verse 17. "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words." Remember, it all goes back to obeying the word of God. "Nor to my law, but they rejected it." "To what purpose cometh there to me increase from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish." This enemy called CCM, this contemporary Christian movement, has already infiltrated many churches. Oh, people who call themselves independent fundamental Baptists have fallen to this enemy, and they're not ashamed. Just like these people here, they were not ashamed of what they're doing. Oh, they don't even blush. Oh, and God says that they shall fall among themselves. God says you better stand and see. You'd better take note of where you are and where this CCM enemy is going to take you. God says to ask for the old paths. He says, wherein is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But right here is the defiance of this enemy called the CCM. He cries out, but they said, we will not walk therein. I've never witnessed, and I have a very limited view, but I've never witnessed a contemporary church go back to the old paths. How do you recognize this enemy? How do you recognize what's easy? Remember, these enemies we're talking about all go against God's word. They go against God's truths. It normally starts with a turning away from God-given biblical standards. And then the music goes contemporary. Then the King James Bible goes right out the door behind the music. Oh, the best way to stop this enemy is to shut the door immediately. And you know where that door is found? It's not found in the church. That door is found in the home. It's at home where the turning away from the old paths, from the right paths, and from the good way, it starts at home. Because so goes the home, so goes the church. Oh, may the Lord help us not to tolerate this enemy in our homes, because it won't be long that it'll infiltrate the church. Oh, why do people leave the good way? Why do they leave the old paths? Why do they leave off obeying the truth of God's word? It's because they fail to recognize the enemy, and before you know it, they find themselves alongside the Galatians, referring to the Apostle Paul as the enemy. This enemy will hinder you from running well and will bewitch you into believing that you're okay. Oh, God says that He takes no pleasure in anything that goes against His Word. Oh, in these verses, He said that He would let the fathers and sons fall on these stumbling blocks because they failed to recognize the enemy and shut the door. The enemy called the CCM will lead you away from the good way. Number five, this enemy that we need to recognize is the enemy of Calvinism. How many good, well-intended Christians have fallen prey to this enemy called Calvinism? Oh, one of the main teachings of Calvinism is that God has predetermined who will be saved and who won't. They believe that some people are predestined to go to hell and some people are predestined to go to heaven, and that there's nothing that one can do about it. They do not believe in whosoever will. Oh, they thank God, you know, I thank God that He included all people in His plan of salvation. I thank God that He included me. Thank God that He gave us a free will and that salvation's for all people who will come to Him by grace through faith. Calvinism is an enemy that needs to be recognized and avoided. Let me give you some famous Calvinists of today. I'm just going to give you their names, and you can go on the internet, and all you got to do is type in famous Calvinist of today, and Google knows. D.A. Carson, James Kennedy, J.I. Packer, James Montgomery Boyce, James White, John F. MacArthur, John Piper, Joshua Harris, Lorraine Botner, Albert Moeller, R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Bacon, Wayne Grudem, and there's probably many more. That's just what came up on Google when you type in famous Calvinist today. That's the names that popped up. I didn't come up with these names. It just popped up on Google when I typed in the question. Here, let me give you some famous Calvinists of the past. Matthew Henry, John Calvin, Charles Spurgeon, Arthur Pink, George Whitfield, one started the Methodist, John Knox started the Presbyterian. Just type on Google, famous Calvinist of the past. Now we've got to understand, not everything that these men said was bad. But you've got to be careful. Because in most of these men have commentaries, they have books and things like that. Not everything that's said is bad. There's a lot of things they say that are good. But you've got to be careful to be able to recognize the enemy of Calvinism. Because if not, it's going to just sneak in, and all of a sudden you will allow that to come into your heart and distort the truth. Calvinism has infiltrated many Baptist churches, Reformed Baptist. May the Lord help us to recognize everything and anything that goes against the Word of God, that does not agree with the Word of truth. Oh, the Galatians had failed to recognize the enemy of the truth of God's Word. They ran well for a while. Oh, they were doing fine until they failed to recognize the enemy. Adam and Eve, they ran well for a while until they failed to recognize the enemy. Well, I think about old Ahab, old King Ahab, that Baal worshiper. What did he say to Elijah, the man of God? Ahab told Elijah, he said, "You're the one that's troubling Israel." That's what Ahab said to Elijah, the man of God. And Elijah told him, "No, it's not me, Ahab, it's you. You're the one that troubleth Israel." In 1 Kings 18 and verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Ahab said, "You're the enemy." And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Ahab failed to recognize who the enemy was. Elijah didn't. Elijah did not fail to recognize the enemy. Hey, you know how he recognized the enemy? He recognized those who had forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And Ahab was one of them. He followed after Balaam. Elijah recognized the enemy because of whom he stood before. In 1 Kings 17:1 it says, "And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, therefore shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Elijah had no problems recognizing the enemy because of the person that whom he before he stand, he stood before the Lord. He knew who was right. I tell you, Paul had no problems recognizing the enemy. Anything that went against the word of God and the truth of God's word was the enemy of Paul. Paul recognized that his own flesh was the enemy. In Romans 7 and verse 18 it says, "For I know that in me, that is, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul recognized the world as being the enemy of truth. He spoke of the course of this world that went in opposition to the commandments of God. He recognized the devil as the enemy. He spoke of a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Oh, may the Lord help us to recognize the enemy of conformity, to recognize the enemy of complacency and the damage that these enemies want to do in our lives. Oh, and that enemy of complaining, of contemporary Christian movement and of Calvinism. Oh, I'm glad that we're not working toward victory, but we're working from victory. I'm glad that the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. I'm glad that there's victory in Jesus. Oh, in 1 Corinthians 15:57 it says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 John 5:4 it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Thank God we can live a victorious Christian life. In Ecclesiastes 12:13 it says, "But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Just fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." Hey, let me tell you, if we'll operate between the covers of this Bible, hey, if you'll stay within the covers of this Bible, or if you'll stay right here in the will of God's Word, I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about going wrong. But it's when we step outside of those boundaries, it's when we step outside of the covers of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, that we open the door for the enemy to come in. And the enemy will always disguise himself. In Matthew 10:16 it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Oh, I think about Joshua back in Joshua chapter 9. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but Joshua failed to recognize the enemy. The inhabitants of Gibeon, They were under the conviction of death. They were supposed to die. That was God's commandment. Oh, but the inhabitants of Gibeon beguiled Joshua. They beguiled the elders of Israel into thinking that they had come from a far country and to make peace with them. You know how they did that? They disguised themselves in old worn out clothes, and they had moldy bread with them, and they wanted to make it look like they'd been traveling a long way. Oh, they failed to recognize the enemy there in Joshua chapter 9, because they did not go to the Lord. In Joshua 9:14 it says, "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." Hey, the only way to recognize the enemy is to go to the Word of God, the truth. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's the enemy. We can't recognize the enemy based on our own experience, our own perception, or our own understanding, or our own feelings. Joshua failed to keep God's commandment regarding the inhabitants of Gibeon, because they did not recognize the enemy. You know, before they made machines that could detect fake currency, people would have to study the real dollar bills. The 10, the 20, the 50, the 100. They would study the real bills. And they could spot a fake as soon as they saw it. It wouldn't take no time at all between the touch and what they saw. They knew it was fake because they had studied the truth. Oh, may the Lord help us to spend much time in His Word. And we'll recognize the enemy. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.